Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. 1 Peter 2, 24. Now would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Hosea, chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in a few moments with verse 1. Hosea, chapter 1, verse 1. It's been our privilege for a number of months to be teaching from the Old Testament, finding Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. We're going to see in coming days how great that subject is in relationship to this magnificent book of Hosea. I trust you have your Bible in hand. You'll open your Bibles, please, to Hosea chapter 1. Before we begin our study, we spend a few moments in prayer. Most of us are aware of the fact that to study God's Word properly, we have to be in tune, in fellowship, in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some, but all unrighteousness. And that's the reason why we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. So that each person can settle this matter in his own heart. So that during this time we're studying, we'll be able to properly receive and properly metabolize these beautiful, magnificent scriptures. We have an interesting study today in the both sessions, the first one and the second one. Trust you'll be very, very attentive. Very quiet, very in tune with what is being proclaimed, because we'll be blessed from God's Word today. May we pray together, please. Father, we bow with grateful hearts today because we realize how wonderful it is to know that heaven is our eternal home. And to know that the few years that you let us live on this earth, these are days of preparation, days of witnessing, days of spiritual advance. How wonderful it is for us today to understand the importance of utilizing the Word of God on a day-by-day basis. We're thankful that we have this magnificent book, The Mind of Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're thankful for the opportunity now to turn our attention away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon this magnificent book. We pray that in these moments we're studying today, that we'll be able to receive spiritual fuel for our individual souls, that we will be able then to go out into life, if you let us live another week, that we'll go out into life with a message of hope to present to those who are hopeless. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord which came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, during the days of Uzziah and Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. This is Jeroboam number 2. Verse 2, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take yourself a wife of prostitution, a wife of harlotry, and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord. Verse 2 is a terrible verse. It's a startling verse. We'll be looking at this in the second session today. Verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, his daughter, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, name him Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will punish the house of Jehu for the bloodshed of Jezreel, And I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it will come about on that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Verse 6 of Hosea chapter 1. Then she conceived again, gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel that I should ever forgive them. But I will have compassion on the house of Judah and deliver them by the Lord their God, and will not deliver them by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen. When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, name him Lo-Ammiah, for you are not my people, and I'm not your God. Verse 10, yet the number of your sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it will come about that in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, I will say to them, you are the sons of the living God. And the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be gathered together. And they will appoint for themselves one leader. And they will go up from the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. The reason I read that entire first chapter is to let all of you have the ability to be able to see and comprehend some things in relationship to the nation of Israel. Most of you have seen the timeline that we've given over and over and over again. Eternal ages past, eternal ages future. The age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the interruption of the age of Israel with the coming of the age of grace, the age in which you and I now live. All of us are aware of the fact that the age of the Israel was interrupted, and a period of time was postponed, a number of years postponed, at least 7 years. And those 7 years will be the 7 years of continuation of the age of Israel and the consummation of the age of Israel in the time of the tribulation. When I'm saying this, I believe that in your mind you're looking at a mental picture of the timeline. You're seeing the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the intercalated period, the age of the church. You're seeing the 7 years of tribulation. You're seeing the second advent, the rapture, all those kind of things, the battle of Armageddon. And you're seeing then the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't intend to go into all that, but when I looked out and saw you, I felt like you needed that. And so that's the reason why I gave it. Now on the screen, you're going to see the names that are listed in Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to take some time to look with me at those names. You may want to write a few little points about each one, or you may just want to sit there and listen, and that's okay. But there's a reason for these names being presented to us in Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. The first name here is Beeri, B-E-E-R-I. We discover that Beeri was the father of the prophet Hosea. There are only two references in the scripture in relationship to this person. The one is found here in Hosea 1:1, and in Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. You may want to write those passages down, because it's very interesting indeed. The name is only mentioned two times in the scripture, right here in Hosea 1:1, and then in Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. Most of you are familiar with Jacob and Esau. I need to tell you that when Esau was 40 years of age, he took a wife by the name of Judith, and the daughter, who was the daughter of Beeri the Hittite. Now, let me repeat that since I messed it up a little bit. I want you to know that when Esau was 40 years of age, he took a wife whose name was Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite. So we have two occurrences, Hosea 1:1 and Genesis 26:34, the name Beeri, the father of the prophet Hosea. If you look carefully, you'll see that the next name is Uzziah. Uzziah is also known as Azariah, was a king of the ancient kingdom of Judah. He was 16 years of age when he became king of Judah, and he reigned for 52 years. You may want to write that. He was 16 years of age when he became king of Judah. He reigned for 52 years. The next name that you see on the list on the screen is Jotham, or Jotham, J-O-T-H-A-M. Jotham was the youngest of Gideon's 70 sons. Now that blows your mind, doesn't it? Gideon had 70 sons over a period of time, and Jotham was the youngest. There are a number of things said about this man. I don't know how much I need to give you, but let me just tell you again that when you go to Judges chapter 8, verse 5, chapter 9, verse 5, you'll see an emphasis upon the fact that he's the youngest son of Gideon, who escaped the massacre of his brethren in B.C. around 1256. The son of Uzziah, or Azariah, and Jehoshah, after administering the kingdom for some years during his father's leprosy, he succeeded to the throne in B.C. 758. At that time, he was 25 years of age, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years. The next name on the list here is Ahaz. Ahaz reigned, and it commenced at the age of 20, in the 17th year of his reign of Pekah, P-E-K-A-H, of Israel. He's described in 2 Kings 16. He's described in Isaiah chapters 7 through 9. He's described in 2 Chronicles 28. That's the name Ahaz. I'm sure that all of you are so interested in this, I can tell by your enthusiasm, but I need to tell you that there's a reason for me doing this. The next name is Hezekiah. Hezekiah, according to the Old Testament, is the son of Ahaz and the 13th king of Judah. What I discovered as I studied about this individual, Hezekiah, that there's an archaeologist by the name of Edwin Thiele who concluded that his reign was between 715 and 686 B.C. He was also one of the most prominent kings of Judah, mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, and is one of the kings mentioned in the genealogy in the book of Matthew. Quite unique. The next name on the screen is Jeroboam. I've had an interesting time with Jeroboam because I don't know whether you know this or not, but I have proofreaders. And when they read the information and something hits their mind and there's a question about it, they make way through the proper means and let me know about it. I'm not going to go into any detail other than to tell you that there was a question in one of the statements that I made, and so I needed to do some extra research, and I wanted to tell you that you need to know that there's a Jeroboam 1 and a Jeroboam 2. Now, I realize how wonderful it is for you to have that information. Jeroboam 1 was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel in 975 B.C. You ought to write that somewhere. Jeroboam 1 was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel, 975 B.C., after the revolt of the 10 northern Israelite tribes against Rehoboam that put an end to the united monarchy. All I want you to remember there is Jeroboam number 1 and the date 975 B.C. Then you'll write Jeroboam number 2. And that is 825 B.C. If you subtract 825 from 975, you'll have 150 years. So there is a time lapse between Jeroboam number 1 and Jeroboam number 2. And what you have to understand is that when you look over these various kings, you'll have to also make a comparison to the individuals who were prophets during that time. And during the time of Jeroboam number 2 in 825 B.C., we have prophets by the name of Joel, Amos, Jonah, and Hosea. Did you get it? Oh, I had such a good time with this. And I saw that you had a good time with it also. Hosea the prophet. Let's begin. Look, please, again at verse 1. If you look on the back of your bulletin, you will see that translation from the German. The name Hosea means salvation. We could call him Jah, J-A-H, or Joe. The name Hosea means salvation. Or it could be translated salvation, help. It refers to Jehovah's ultimate salvation of Israel. When I make that statement, I wonder where you are in relationship in your mind to the nation of Israel. I wonder what is going on in your thinking in relationship to the Jews. Someone was asked the other day, and well, it was asked some years ago, but it came out to me the other day. Someone asked a person, how do you know that the Bible is true and the Bible is the Word of God? And the answer came back from this individual, the way you know that the Bible is true, the Word of God, two words, the Jews. I'm giving you time to think because you need to think. When we get into the book of Hosea, we're going to be able to see some things about the nation of Israel. We're going to see how they were referred to as no one, no people. How they were referred to as the fact that God eventually would bring them back. We're seeing all kinds of things taking place, even in our day. We see Jehovah's ultimate purpose for Israel. Hosea prophesied for approximately 55 years. His ministry began in the latter part of the reign of King Uzziah, also called Azariah. Why did I give you these names at the beginning? To help you see now why we're giving you this information. Hosea's ministry began in the latter part of the reign of King Uzziah, also called Azariah, a king that covered 52 years extended through or into the reigns of three of the other kings of Judah. Jotham, the entire 16 years of his reign. Ahaz, all 16 years that he was king. And Hezekiah, through the first part of his reign. Why did I give these names at the beginning? To help you be able to think. Jeroboam number 2. Here was the point that came up with a question, and I appreciate it because I didn't say it in the proper fashion. But here I'm saying it now after reworking this part of the message. Edie, Donna, proofreaders, thank you. Some of you need to realize what goes on in my life. I have to put up with people like Edie and Donna. But I appreciate them. Because if they see something that they may think that may be a little difficult for you to comprehend, I'm kindly reminded of it. And I make the proper change. The reason why I'm calling your attention to this is not to embarrass our secretary or Donna, but to let you know that right here, I had it to be changed so that you can understand which Jeroboam I'm talking about. Jeroboam number two reigned for 41 years and was the contemporary king of Israel for most of the time that Hosea prophesied. What book are we in? About whom are we speaking? We're talking about Hosea. Jeroboam 1 reigned during the time of Elijah as prophet in 975 B.C., which was 150 years before Jeroboam 2 in 1825. In addition, Isaiah and Micah were prophesying during the same time period. You have to understand some timelines, some periods of time, understanding this. Hosea began his ministry as a young man and actually lived a pretty long time. He didn't live as long as I'm living, but anyway, that's okay. Hosea began his ministry as a young man and he lived a fairly long time. And as I looked into the book of Hosea, I came to the conclusion I need to tell you. If you're looking at Hosea, you need to see at least two major things. One, prophet. Two, messenger. And so, I started with that thought in mind. Hosea the prophet. If you want to take notes, number one, Hosea was a prophet of the northern kingdom. And in his message, it was primarily to the northern kingdom, with occasional reference to Judah, the southern kingdom. Please put that down somewhere. Get it into your thinking. Hosea was a prophet of God to the northern kingdom. And his message was primarily to the northern kingdom, with an occasional reference to the southern kingdom of Judah. Number two. He began his ministry when Israel, under Jeroboam number two, was at the very top of power about the last 40 years of the northern kingdom. Number three, when we begin a study of Hosea, we enter upon 12 books known as the Minor Prophets. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that there's no such thing as minor prophets. Do you understand that? The reason they're referred to as minor prophets is because there is not as much content in those 12 books. And so that's the reason why you have a reference to major and minor prophets. When we begin the study of Hosea, we enter upon the 12 books known as the minor prophets. Minor does not mean minor in content or importance, but relative to the amount of material that has been written. Hosea, number four, prophesied during the 8th century B.C. Now, some of you individuals are time conscious, and you're aware of the various periods of time. And if you are, that's wonderful. You'll enjoy this even more than the others. Number five, the contemporaries of Hosea were Amos, Isaiah, and Micah. So I wanted you to see why we referred to this at the beginning. Number six, Hosea has been referred to as the Jeremiah of the northern kingdom. You are familiar with Jeremiah. We studied Jeremiah, a magnificent person referred to as the weeping prophet. Hosea has been referred to, number six, as the Jeremiah of the northern kingdom. Number seven, Israel. In the book of Hosea means the 10 tribes that form the northern kingdom. Israel, the name in this book of Hosea, refers to the 10 tribes that form the northern kingdom. Judah represents the tribes of the southern kingdom. Number 8 again, Judah, represents the tribes of Judah and Benjamin that form the southern kingdom. I don't know how much of this you're going to be able to remember. There's a reason for me taking you this way. Hosea, number 9, was a layman called by God to give the distinct to Israel, and that should say distinct message. Hosea was a layman called of God to give the distinct message to Israel that God loved them. Is there any question in your mind this morning about God's love for the Jews? Is there any question in your mind about God's concern for Israel? If you're listening carefully, you're going to be able to see things you've never seen before as we find our way through the pages of the book of Hosea. Hosea number 9 was a layman called of God to give the distinct message to Israel that God loved them. Number 10, Hosea prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, a good king, 787-735, Jotham, a good king, from 740 to 734, Ahaz, have you seen these names before? Oh, sure you have. You're seeing now why we had them at the beginning. Ahaz, a very wicked king, from 741 to 726. Hezekiah, a good king, from 726 to 697. Kings of Judah, Jeroboam number 2, 797-49, which was a time of great prosperity, king of Israel. Number 11, the book of Hosea does not give too many facts about Hosea other than he had a very sad, sad home life. His wife became a prostitute. And we'll go into that in great detail in the second session today. It's amazing to me as I study this second verse of Hosea chapter 1. And I look across the broad expanse of theologians, and I try to pick out their thinking, and I'm seeing what different individuals said, and I find it quite interesting. I don't even know whether I should tell you what some of these theologians say. I can tell you this. Some say that when he married her, he knew she was a prostitute, and he married her. Others say she was not a prostitute at the time he married her. He married her. The first child, Jezreel, was his and her child. And then the next two came by other men. I just want you to see what various theologians say. You can draw some conclusions for yourself. We're going to be able to lay it out to let you see what God's Word says. We're going to lay it out for you to see. I'm getting ahead of myself. Number 11. The book of Hosea does not give too many facts about Hosea other than he had a very sad home life. His wife became a prostitute, which revealed that she allowed her lascivious trends to overcome her lifestyle. Boy, could we ever get into that discussion. Lascivious lifestyle. She allowed her lascivious lifestyle to move her in the wrong direction. Whether she had that lascivious lifestyle before the marriage or during the marriage and after those events took place. You can be your own judge. This book pictures Hosea as a gentle, loving, frank, affectionate individual. I'll have to tell you, that if you'll go with me, you will probably be sitting there like I was sitting studying this and have a lump come up in your throat and perhaps even tears flow down your cheeks. When you see what kind of a man Hosea was, I only mention it lightly here. The book pictures Hosea as a gentle, loving, frank, affectionate individual. Number 12, God had told him to marry a person with an unsettled, worthless soul. I'm convinced that that soul was unsettled before they married. God had told him to marry a person with an unsettled, worthless soul to reveal a sign to his people that they remain the object of the Father's love in spite of their sinfulness. You can take a lot of things from this message today, but please don't miss this one. God told him to marry a person with an unsettled, worthless soul to reveal a sign to his people that they remain the object of the Father's love in spite of their sinfulness. And here it is for you, and here it is for me. God loves you and me even though we're sinful. Do you see that? Are you aware of the fact that you are a sinner? Could I be so brave as to tell you, people whom I love today, you are nothing but sinners? Well, someone said, when the preacher points his finger out there, there are three fingers pointing back at the preacher. So I'm going to take it too. Do you realize that God is looking down upon the Jews? God is looking down upon the nation of Israel. And we're going to see a lot of things in this book. You ought to read this book. There are a lot of things in this book about those individuals. God told Hosea to marry a person with an unsettled, worthless soul to reveal. I didn't know I was going to get so excited about this. I'm not normally a hollering preacher. But to reveal a sign to his people that they remained, it's an important word, that they remained the object of the Father's love in spite of their sinfulness. My. Number 13. Israel, so undeserving of God's love, is still the recipients of redeeming grace, lavish expressions of the Father's care. You ought to write that down. Israel, so undeserving of God's love, is still the recipients of redeeming grace. Number 14. We must see that Hosea was married to an unfaithful bride, Gomer. So God was married to unfaithful Israel. If you're following along, you're beginning to see why we're putting this together. Word after word, paragraph after paragraph, sentence after sentence. We want you to see it. We must see Hosea married to an unfaithful bride. So God was married to unfaithful Israel. Number 15. The story depicts how God uses marriage to symbolize his relation to Israel. Israel then is Jehovah's bride, while the church is the Lamb's bride. You ought to write that one down. Israel is Jehovah's bride, while the church is the Lamb's bride. Can you see me sitting in my office studying and typing this out? Can you see a lump coming up in my throat? Are you sensing this? God has been true to his bride, the Jews, and has loved them, even though they had broken their marriage vows, fallen into slavery, fallen into sin and shame. Israel, like Gomer, had forgotten who had given blessings in abundance. Oh, if you're looking over that timeline, you're seeing God's message, and you see the age of Israel, and you see a point of time when these individuals, the Jewish nation, said no, no, no to the coming of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're still looking for him to come. We know he's already come, died on the cross, was buried, and came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. Do you see that picture? Oh, my. God has been true to his bride. Like Gomer had forgotten who had given the blessings. I need to go on right quick. I only have about 5 more minutes and I'm not even through. Hosea the prophet. Hosea the messenger. Number one, the name Hosea, as I've already said, means salvation. Do we find Jesus in the book of Hosea? Of course. He was God's voice to the people, making an appeal for the backslidden nation to return and the unsaved to be saved. At least 37 times, number three, in the book, the message goes out, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Let's repeat. One, the name Hosea means salvation. Two, he was God's voice to the people, making an appeal for the backslidden individuals to come back to God. At least 37 times in the book of Hosea, we have the statement, O Israel, return! O Israel, return! Number four, we must remember that 200 years before, the 10 tribes had seceded from Judah and set up an independent kingdom called Israel. Now, those of you who have a historical background here, you're seeing the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. But what happens here in this northern kingdom? They immediately begin to worship idols. So God sent Elijah and then Elisha to warn them, but all in vain. They refuse to return to God, and now God brings on a new voice in the messenger of Hosea. In Hosea 6:1, return, return unto the Lord. Many faults characterized in this book. And I wanted to close this morning. You're going to find this very interesting. In all my preaching for all these many years, I've never closed a message with a wild donkey. But you stay with me for the next 3 or 4 minutes, and you'll find out why I'm getting there. I could have called it another name, Jazz Honky, but I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to say wild donkey. Do you like that okay? Many faults throughout the book of Hosea characterizes these people. But look at some of the names. In a later message, we're going to look at these in detail, but falsehood in Hosea 4:1. Licentiousness in Hosea 4:11. Murder in Hosea chapter 5, verse 2. Robbery in Hosea 7:1. Oppression in Hosea 12:7. I need to tell you that when I went through these, I came to the conclusion that I needed to stop and go back and study each one of these. And so I've done it on a separate message. But I want you to see falsehood, Hosea 4:1. Licentiousness, Hosea 4:11. Right here, I'm going to get into teaching you in relationship to teens and what teens are doing today in relationship to being immoral. And we're going to see what God's Word says about that. Licentiousness, Hosea 4:11. Murder, Hosea 5:2. Robbery, Hosea 7:1. Oppression, Hosea 12:7. The sin of the people was described in many different ways. Notice, please, an adulterous wife. And that's what we're going to study in the next session. Hosea chapter 1 and then Hosea chapter 3. A wine-inflamed drunkard. Can you imagine the words that are given in this book? A wine-inflamed drunkard. Hosea 4:11. A backsliding heifer, Hosea 4:16. All I'm doing, folks, is just telling you what the Bible says. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading the Bible to you. A backsliding heifer, Hosea 4:16. As troops of robbers, Hosea 6:9. Adulterous, Hosea 7:4. Hot as an oven, in Hosea 7:7. A cake not turned, half-baked, Hosea 7:8. Isn't this an interesting book? Look at this. Like a silly dove. Have you ever seen a silly dove? Do you know what a silly dove is like? Hosea 7:11. Some of you need to look this up. Like a deceitful bow. Hosea 7:16. Swallowed up. Hosea 8:8. A vessel wherein is no pleasure. Hosea 8:8. Oh my. The proofreaders, bless them, they made a mistake. They let me put down the word a while ass. It should have been donkey. Donna, where are you? Edie, where are you? You let me make this terrible mistake. I'm embarrassing her. Would you go with me to Hosea, the last? Well, let's go to chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. I marked this for myself, for you. We're going to close with it. So interesting. Hosea chapter 8, verse 8. Israel is swallowed up. They are now among the nations, like a vessel in which no one delights. For they have gone up to Assyria, like a wild donkey, all alone. Ephraim has hired lovers. If you will, please, go up to Hosea chapter 8. I'll turn the page. I've marked these, but it's not all there for me to see. Oh, it's back in chapter 7. Look at it in verse 4. They are all adulterous, like an oven heated by the baker, who ceases to stir up the fire. You might want to underline these. Look, if you will, at verse 7, chapter 7, verse 7. All of them are hot like an oven, and they consume their rulers. All their kings have fallen. None of them calls on me. Go down to verse 11. So Ephraim has become a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Isn't this an interesting book? Oh, but wait till you get to verse 2 of chapter 1. And that'll be the next session. You folks are so magnificent. I've never seen anyone in my life listen so attentively and so carefully. You don't even move. You hardly blink your eyes. I want to thank you for listening so attentively and so carefully. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. These last moments are dedicated to those who hear this message, either here or by way of the internet, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I cannot close this service without telling you that God loves you so much, and Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth as the God-man and go to the cross and die for your sins and for mine. Not only did he die for us, but he was buried and he came forth out of that grave, triumphant over sin and death and hell and the grave. And he'll save you if you'll trust him right now. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. I would encourage you to do that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you. Whosoever, that's your name, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you trust him now? Father, thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.